And the final thing I wanted to go into, well, two other categories, actually. The one that I think in the end is the most serious, because it is the fundamental crime against the Constitution, and that's the signing statements, which now we know Bush has invalidated 750 acts passed by the Congress by signing these statements after he signs the bill, saying that it doesn't really count because he's the commander-in-chief and we're in war and he's a unitary executive, which is a term that doesn't even exist in the Constitution. The interesting thing there is that if you accept his argument, then Nancy Pelosi's argument that we shouldn't do impeachment because if we win the House, the Democrats should pursue the Democratic agenda, whatever that is, it becomes ludicrous, because if Congress is Democratic and starts passing this Democratic agenda, Bush will just sign signing statements and invalidate every law that Congress passes. So he has to be impeached if the Democrats are going to do anything. The first thing they have to do is impeach him. It's not even shredding the Bill of Rights, which is what the Bush administration's been doing since 9/11. It's shredding the basic document of the Constitution, the initial articles that define separation of powers. This is as bad as it can possibly get. He's defined himself as a dictator. Instead of being a commander-in-chief, which was a term that was meant to maintain civilian control over the military, he's basically redefined commander-in-chief to mean generalissimo. So the model is more Mussolini than what the Founding Fathers had in mind.
In Guantanamo, there are five camps. The sixth camp is called Camp Iguana. Camp Iguana was the camp for children. And this is something that, you know, somehow has never really made it to the press. When we sent the first group of people down to Guantanamo, Camp Iguana was filled. There were children that were 7, 8, 9, and 11 years old in that camp, without their parents, without access to anyone. That's who we had there. Somehow, we managed to send them back to Afghanistan and Pakistan without too many people noticing. And now, you know, that story, that's an old story. That's from 2002, from January and February. No one really wants to print it. And no one even wonders why there's all these children's books and Disney videos in Camp Iguana. I don't know, that would make me ask a question, but I don't know, that no one else has. So what do we think about enemy combatant? Well, here's what we learned in court. What we learned in court is that the president, through enemy combatant status, has elaborated on this idea of a war on terror. It's a war on terror, it's a war. It's kind of like an international armed conflict between two countries, you know, that are members of the Geneva Conventions. But, you know, it's not that kind of war, because, and so we don't have to comply with any of those treaties or conventions. But what it does allow him to do is use his war powers, his commander-in-chief powers, all over the world, so that you can be an enemy combatant and can be arrested from any country, at any time, in any place that the president decides. And how do we know this? Because Justice Department attorneys have said it on the record in the court, to like the shock and horror of everyone in the courtroom, including the judge, who kept giving like hypotheticals. Well, what if there's a little Swiss grandma who wants to give money to an orphanage in Afghanistan, and she's dying and she decides to do this, and then somehow someone takes some of that money from the orphanage and it gets somewhere near Al-Qaeda or someone related. What happens to her? And the Justice Department attorney says, she goes to Guantanamo. And the judge says, she's an enemy combatant? And the Justice Department attorney says, of course. And that's when we realized that this is a president that thinks that he can lock up anyone from anywhere.